You're listening to the Esoterics Podcast, hosted by Joe Figueres and Fiorelise Franco. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone.
Hello, people. How has everyone been? How has your new year been?
I'm glad the new year is here. That's it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm a Capricorn and we're in Capricorn energy, things have really slowed down for me. Like nothing's happening. You know, like there's just nothing really going on. And I remember saying back at like the beginning of December, I remember just saying to the universe, can I just get a fucking break? I just want to take a rest. I just want a period of time where I don't worry about anything. Nothing's stressing me out and nothing is pulling me in a million directions. And that's where I feel like I am right now. Like I'm just chill.
Yeah.
Just chill. And life is good right now. So.
I feel like I'm really in this like planning energy.
Yes.
That's what it feels like. It feels like planning and not just planning like in my head like I normally do. It's actually like actionable things where like, and I'm like, yeah, like I'm getting things done and I'm not like taking on a whole bunch of things or doing anything like that, but I have ideas brewing and I feel like they're just coming to fruition with ease, which just feels really nice.
It feels nice. It feels different. Yes.
Very different. Yes.
It feels like, wait a minute, why is everything so easy? What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into that later.
Okay. All right. What's new with you?
So my birthday was the 7th and, I'm not sure when this will drop. It'll drop soon. But I just want to talk about all of the wonderful presents that I got and thank everybody. First yourself for that. What are those called? They're called,
the waterfall incense burners.
Yes. Right. Where you put the little thing, the little cone of incense in there and then they flow down it like water. Yes. And I've seen them before and I've always wanted one, but also part of the Capricorn in me is like, those aren't going to work. Those
don't work. Me too.
They sure do. It looks like freaking water. I don't know how it works, but it's so cool. So I got that. And then my friend Lisa sent me an Amazon gift card, which is, of course, you know, always so I can put it towards the my cart. I'm like $400 in my cart right now. Let's see. Kathy, friend of the pod and of us personally, Kathy Hargrove.
Yes.
You know, she is a crafter and she's a knitter and a crocheter. And she sent me like a bunch of really cool things, like a headband. She sent me this cute little cat that I named. The cat is super cute.
I love crochet pets. That's so cute.
She's adorable. And I named her Panther Ann. So that's her name. It's Panther Ann. She sent me those awesome cotton crocheted, like kitchen sort of.
Like trivets, kind of? Like the.
I use them as trivets, but they're actually for like wiping down, washing. So like a dishcloth.
Oh, right? Okay. Yeah. Like reusable dishcloths.
Yes. The cotton one. And they're so beautiful. And when you use them, they get dirty and they get faded and they're just, you know, so with hers, I'm like, I'm not going to use them as dishcloths. I use them as trivets.
Yes.
I use them to hold hot bowls and all that stuff. Let's see. It's just... I know there was some other stuff too. And if I'm forgetting anything and anybody says, hey, I sent you this or whatever, I'm sorry, I forgot. But anyway, it's been a really good birthday. I got lots of good things. Awesome. So, okay. Yourself? What's happening with you? Anything good? Interesting, fun?
Just like a few changes coming at home. Still working on the studio space that should be done here hopefully by the end of the month.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's been it. Yeah, like I said, lots of planning on my end. Like I have some stuff that I'm working on, some guides, like some PDF guides and things like that that I want to have available in the group. And that's it. Nice. I've got something to share with you.
Oh, what is it? Tell me.
Okay, I found this little shot that improves my mornings so much.
Oh.
I love that I can take it with me anywhere and drink it whenever I need a quick energy boost.
Oh, that's interesting. What is it?
It's called Magic Mind, and it's a tiny shot. It makes me more productive and more focused. I get more done in less time thanks to the nootropics inside that improve attention, concentration, and cognition.
Nootropics. I hadn't heard that word. What's in it?
Okay. This is the best part because you know how I feel about mushrooms.
Yes. You love them.
Yes. So this has got lion's mane mushrooms, which is a nootropic, an adaptogen, which is all just to say it's brain food. But what it helps with is it helps to reduce anxiety and inflammation while also supporting cognition. And then it also has cordyceps mushrooms, which is another adaptogen. And this also reduces inflammation, but it also strengthens your immune system and supports higher energy levels.
I'm struggling with inflammation with my menopause. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a dirty word or whatever. So how can I get some?
Okay. So the Magic Mind team has created this amazing offer to share with you and our listeners. So this will get you 75% off, okay, for the entire month of January. Yes. So you go on their website, magicmind.com/JanEsoterics Podcast. Link is in our show notes. And use the one-time code esoterics20 to get you an extra 20% off, which will equal a total of 75% off. So hurry, because this offer is only good for the month of January.
Okay, so I'm going to do this because seriously, I need some help.
It's a great deal.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. All right. What other announcements do we have?
I don't really have any announcements. I am chilling the fack out until after, you know, February, the energy of February is going to that's when Uranus kicks in, right? That's when like all sudden things happen. So I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
Have you seen any good shows or anything lately?
Yes. So last time we talked, I told you about Quiz Lady.
Yes, that was so good. I watched it and I loved it. I love freaking Awkwafina.
Yes. Yeah. So good. So I've kind of still been on that kick of like comedy based shows. So we started watching this show called Insecure, which has been around for a while. It's been around since like 2017. It's like 5 seasons. But what I like about it is that the show is really centered around female friendships. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like historically we don't really get a lot of that. A lot of it is like a girl in a relationship with a guy, and then the friendships are the like secondary to that.
Right, group friends too, right? Like 3 guys, 3 girls,
yes,
best
buds. Yes.
Dawson's Creek type shit.
Exactly. But it also gets into like the nitty-gritty of friendships, which is like when your friend is like on their bullshit and you call them out on it and then they get mad at you. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like it just feels very human.
Do the people get mad at each other? Like, how do they handle that sort of friend calling your friend out on bullshit?
Yeah. So there was this one where she basically, I think somebody who was not their friend had told them that they needed therapy. And then her friend was like, basically says like, I think you do need therapy. And she was so offended. Like, I can't believe like you would say that. Yeah.
But they worked it. Did they work it out?
Yeah. They worked it out. And she did end up going to therapy because she did realize like, oh, yeah. And you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes, because hearing it from a third person who's not your friend, you're going to be like, oh, that's like, you don't even know me. Like, no. Mm-hmm. But your best friend, they know you and they know your bullshit. So if they say something, it's not always. That's the thing, is like, as much as friendships should be supportive and encouraging and all of that. A real friend should also be able to tell you, like, hey, you know, you're on some BS right now.
I completely 100% agree. So I was not raised to maneuver female relationships in a mm-hmm. healthy way, right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't what my mom was about, and I wasn't taught that. I was taught other coping skills. Mm-hmm. So growing up in my early 20s or my 20s and my 30s and even into my 40s, I just had relationships, female relationships that just weren't very strong.
Yeah.
We'll say.
Yeah.
One little thing and it, right,
it was done.
And it was done. Mm-hmm. So, but I've learned since I've started my healing journey over the last, God, like 15 years, mm-hmm. That the more that I heal inside, the more capable that I am of hearing somebody else, somebody yeah. that I love and respect saying, you know what, you're being an asshole right now. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you need to, you know, it doesn't make it easy sometimes. Though, right?
No.
Like there are very few people in our lives, in my life that I'm like, that I can take that hard hitting stuff from,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Very few, less than five, but, but also I know that that hard hitting stuff isn't intended with any sort of malice
yeah.
or whatever. So, I guess my whole point is that I think that the more that people do the work on themselves and they work on their relationship with themselves, then they're able to then have stronger relationships with other females.
Yeah. Because your outside world is just a reflection of your inner world.
100%. And I never understood. I mean, when I was younger, I was like, oh, it's easier to have relationships with guys and, you know, blah. But that's like spiritual bypassing in a way. It's a form of spiritual bypassing or self bypassing, because men are just easier to have friendships with anyway, because we're two different beings. We all want the same thing. We want connection and we want, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's mm-hmm. just easier to be friends with a guy mm-hmm. because women require a deeper emotional connection.
Yeah.
I believe, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the hard stuff comes up. Mm-hmm. So I think that when people say that it's just easier to be friends with, or I have more friends than guys because they're easier, I think to a certain degree, you're really keeping yourself from experiencing true intimacy with a female,
yeah,
which is really, really very rewarding.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a lot to unpack there, though, with like the relationship with males. Really, I think that has to do with like the patriarchy and
yes.
the fact that like it's not, you know, the patriarchy doesn't encourage men to talk about their feelings unless those feelings
exactly.
are anger.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, otherwise, like, you know, it's kind of all suppressed. So I think that's why you don't have to get super deep. And obviously, we're not talking about all men, but like
no.
most, I would, you know,
yeah,
especially growing up, like as teenagers, yeah. like teenage boys are not going to have emotional intelligence. We're going to have mm-hmm. very little. But yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I definitely agree. Like, I think as you do more work on yourself to understand yourself, you bring more self-awareness, you understand your traumas and your triggers and all the things
yes.
that you may have carried for your whole life. And as you learn to shed light on them and then overcome them and then just essentially integrate them into like, okay, that's who I was, or that happened to me, but that's not who I am. And then you can then call in those really beautiful friendships that are deep.
And rewarding mm-hmm. and, you know, two-sided.
Yeah.
The thing with men is that they're like, bro, blow it off, right?
Right.
Doesn't matter. I mean, because they're like, I don't want to make a big deal about it, or I'm not meant to, quote unquote, I shouldn't say meant to. I'm not taught to say, hey, that hurt my feelings and that, you know, but mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my core group of friends from like high school and young 20s and stuff revolve around like these five guys that were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, there was a lot of meanness toward one or two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they took it. Do you know what I mean? And they're like, whatever. And yeah. I remember just being like, you guys are so fucking mean to each other. Why would you, that's your friend that you've known since like kindergarten. Why are you mean? Yeah. They're fine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there was always the one or two that are like, I wouldn't say they're bullies because I wouldn't be friends with bullies, but they were, you know, arrogant buttholes, I would be friends with an arrogant butthole. You know, so it's just different. Male relationships are different. I would love to dive into that a little bit more in a future podcast. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. I agree. We should, because yeah, there's a lot there. And I've had that. It's funny that you bring that up though. Like, I feel like I've seen a lot of that just throughout my life, but now, like, I feel like this day and age, like, if I were to see that, like if I were to be amongst friends or within a group and I just saw somebody like targeting, like, you know, actively doing that, I don't think I could not say something. I think I would have to just be like, dude, are you okay? Like, why do you, like, and when you understand that people are cope with projection, like, it really changes your world and the way you view people.
And I think too, with evolution and then with, you know, the younger generation sort of coming up and being, you know, sort of the trend makers and the issue, or, you know, cultural, well, situations or issue makers, they're just less tolerant of shit like that. And they're like, no, you know, I mean, I was a teenager and a young adult. Well, a teenager in the 80s. And in the 80s, all you have to do is look at any 80s movie and then listen to the comedy in that. And it was kind of brutal and it was mean.
Crass.
You know, the other thing that's interesting too is that in the 80s, when I look back, the body image was huge. Like, you had to be a size 6, 8, you know, and you just, it was very much like, this is what the perfect or an acceptable body image is in the 80s. Now, it's just, there's a, just a diversity of it, you know, with people. So it's just a different time. And I think that people have to change with the times. I think that's why MAGA people have such a problem with it, you know. And I just made a post today on Facebook, something about comedy. When you're making fun of people, it's not funny. It's not funny anymore. People don't think it's funny. You just have to understand
it's just not, dude. Mean. Like, we've evolved. We've evolved as people. We've evolved. And that's the thing that people need to understand about language too, is that the whole purpose of language in general is just to communicate. But as we evolve as people, as society, as community, our language is going to reflect that as well. So that's why words will fall out of fashion and words will change meaning, and you have to be able to adapt to that. And that's, I have a really big problem with people who take issue with, like, with Latinx or like Latinidad and all of that stuff. First of all, I'm 100% on board of the train, for the train of just not even calling ourselves, Latinx or Hispanic. Like, I think those are words, those are categories imposed to us by colonizers, and if we can get rid of those words, let's do it. But meanwhile,
what words do you prefer or should we use?
I feel much more called to say, when I say, like, my ancestry is indigenous. Like, yes, indigenous America. To the Americas.
Because Americas.
Because America is a whole ass continent. It is not just the United States. So,
I love that.
So that feels really good to me. That feels right to me. But meanwhile, like, even if we still want to use the words Latin or Hispanic for saying that people who speak a Latin-based language, right? I think that's still appropriate. And if you want to say Latinx to be inclusive of all sorts of people of all sorts of genders within that community, why not? Like, why do we just have to keep it like what it's always been? What if we decide that we want to evolve our language? Like, quit fighting against evolution. Like, we're progressing.
It's so dumb. Like, today I commented on that post that I made, and it was like, you know, we Everybody's experience is different.
Yes.
So you can't say, well, this is what the experience is, or this is what you're experiencing, because somebody made a comment that it's sad that people can't take a joke anymore.
No,
right?
That's not a joke anymore. It's How about that's not a joke anymore? Yeah.
No, and belittling people isn't actually funny. Mm-hmm. And I said that what we're simply doing is judging them when we say, oh, you can't take a joke, or, you know, we're judging them for not feeling the same fucking way that we feel about a particular topic or statement, even though our perspective and experiences are vastly different. Yeah. Like, how – I just don't get that. Like, you can't say – that's why I hate the word snowflake or, you know, whatever that is. It's like, dude, fuck you, because you don't have the same experiences. So you're saying, oh, you're being a little bitch or whatever.
Yeah.
When it's like, no, that maybe that's actual legit – your what is it called? You're devaluing legitimate pain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so so I get that, how that ties into, you know, culture and language and all that stuff. I'm going to start calling myself Indigenous.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, Americas are an entire continent. So.
That's right. That's right. All right. See, this is what you get from us. we go off on tangents when we get mad, but it's righteous. Righteous indignation.
Yeah.
I won't say it's not mad. It's
not mad. Anyway.
Okay. Can I just really quick talk about the curious case of Natalia Grace?
Oh, okay.
Have you watched it?
I know the story.
Okay. So it's on all sorts of channels, ID, but I watch it on HBO Max because it's commercial free.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So there's so many opinions about it out there. And then apparently they dropped a bomb in the very last scene of the most recent last episode to set the stage for the future, a future season three.
Okay.
So here's just basically my takeaway. Mm-hmm. Is that this little girl, she was an orphan. She was raised in an orphanage and she endured, I'm sure, abuse in that orphanage, right? Just from... whatever, right? We don't have any proof or whatever, but you know, she then went to live with these abusive parents, and they found a little pubic hair and said, "Oh, you know." But here's the thing: Natalia is physically, she suffers from dwarfism, and then there's some other issues in there too.
Okay,
so who's to say that a child of nine? And she was, that's what her age was to be found at that time, wouldn't have at least maybe one little pubic hair. Like, I've never heard of.
Heard of little girls who start menstruating when they're 10. So it's not that far off to say.
No, exactly. So they found this pubic hair, and then Christine, the mom, who is literally, I'm not going to get into her. She's human garbage.
And when
you look at her face and her eyes, you can see it in there.
Oh no.
She was married to Michael, who is he's featured prominently throughout both seasons of this. He is the husband of human garbage. He is the male version of human garbage. They're both garbage. So they get this little girl legally, fucking idiot judge says, okay. And this little 9-year-old girl is then I don't know how you say it, aged to being a 22-year-old adult, sent to live on her own in this apartment complex. On her own, 9 years old, disabled, and sent to live in an apartment complex. Long story short, then they move her when everybody starts being up in arms about it. The authorities get involved, and then they move her to another place. And the mom says, well, who cares? It was Lafayette, Indiana. They're all white trash there anyway, so who cares, right? So then she meets these other people who I believe take her in. I'm not going to say that they're grifters, but there's some grifter energy around both of them.
Okay.
And then now here we are, and she's done all the DNA, and it's been proven that she's only like, I don't know, like in her 20s right now. So
now
it was proven that at that time, she was really only 9 years old.
Oh, and these sad
fucking people, all charges were dropped against them, both of them.
What? Why?
What is right? Yep.
On what basis? That's child abuse.
It is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, she was completely failed by the system. Yeah. Her dentist even told the mom she has all of her children's her.
I remember that part. I remember that part. Yes.
She's not a fucking adult. And the mom, her name is Christine. She's absolute trash. I mean, and then all of the abuse that comes to light, the things they did to her, they kicked her and pushed her downstairs beat her and punched her, made her, sprayed mace in her eyes, made her stand there, wouldn't let her wash it off. It's awful.
Oh my God.
And then nobody's talking about sexual abuse, but she has proclivities. She has been inappropriate with children her age, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon for children that suffered sexual abuse to be hypersexual at a very early age.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of the things people are judging her and saying, well, you know, she's this and she's that and she's manipulative and she's all those things. I'm sure she is. But everybody's forgetting the fact that she is an abused child who was sent to live on her own at 9 years old.
Yeah.
With nobody to hear her and listen to her. And she was very annoying. People that lived by her were always, they hated her. They're like, we just want her out of here. So she has no social skills. It's the saddest story ever. And what makes me so mad is that nobody is being held accountable for this. Nobody.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I, as an empath, I had to stop it several times and then take a couple days off and then go back because it was just too much.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story.
Yeah. 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 I know that story. I know the story and I remember hearing about the abuses. I've heard a podcast on it is how I know about it. But I didn't realize that all the charges were dropped.
All of them dropped. And most recently, like it was like early 2023.
That's our legal system for you.
Yep. It's absolutely insane. And they're both psychos. When you watch him, like everybody hates him. I thought it was just me. I'm like, I hate that guy. And then I've been seeing them on the socials and stuff. And people are like, literally, this guy is the most hated guy in America right now.
Yeah. That reminds me of when Mike and I used to watch John and Kate Plus Eight. And Mike would be like, he hates her. He hates her. He has to hate her. How do you not? How can she talk to him like that?
Yep.
And he doesn't hate her. He's like, there's no way. He's like, if you talk to me like that, he's like, we would get a divorce. I was like, I would divorce me if I talked to you. Like, what do you mean? Like this? So like, the way she treated him, I was like, you know, it was so transparent that she was just so awful as a person to him. And I don't, but also he is a doormat and he just let her. And so it was just the perfect combo of like, you know, an awful person who just has no respect for you and the person who has no self-respect and so then therefore can't demand it from others.
Christine and Michael are John and Kate times 20. Christine is like, she's like, with nobody to monitor or stop her like natural proclivities, she just acts out her worst impulses. She's like freaking Trump untethered, right? And so and then Michael was, you know, he was a doormat. He was all of those things. And now, of course, he's claiming that he was a victim just as much as Natalia.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Very much so. And anyway, so it's the new Tiger King, you know, I read a really interesting article the other day about how a lot of the filming and the producers and stuff and watching it from that aspect that they are not really giving you legitimate information. So it's
that happens.
They're glamorizing it.
Yeah. That happens a lot. All right. What are we going to talk about today?
Today, I just want to talk about Pluto in Aquarius. It's coming up on January 20th, and there's an interesting aspect of it that I thought would be a good, fun, quick conversation to have today.
Yeah. So, okay. So we did a whole episode on Pluto and the generations. So if you haven't heard that, I would recommend you probably start there first so you just understand Pluto and like where it's going. And so now we're making this shift, right? We're doing the change. Pluto is exiting Capricorn, where it has sat for like the last, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's entering Aquarius.
Yes. And then these are the differences between Capricorn energy and Aquarius energy. So Pluto is the planet of transformation, mm-hmm. right? And so since 2008, remember that's when Obama was elected. Uh-huh. Since 2008, it has been about transforming our structures, our governments, our foundations, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. Capitalism and all those things, right? It's been slowly deconstructed. Uh-huh. And now here we are, where we see the government's basically in shambles, and we're moving into Pluto in Aquarius. And Aquarius, Aquarian energy is ruled by Uranus, which is about rebellion. It's about transformation, sudden transformation. Yeah. It's about also that Aquarian, the age of Aquarius, right? Mm-hmm. Community, humanitarianism, understanding that we have to help one another as a whole.
We have to do it together. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the end of the individualism, because Capricorn was very individual. It's very, I can do it. I can do it. And Aquarius is very, it's an air sign still. So it's like, okay, we got to do this, but we got to do this together. And it's also the out of the box thinking too, which is like the features that I love and appreciate about Aquarians are that like the walking to the beat of their own drum. They don't care what anybody else thinks. Nope. They're going to do things their own way, but they're going to get things done.
They're very cerebral. They're like, okay, let me think about this. Yes. And they take their time, whereas Capricorn is decisive, right? Mm-hmm. But Aquarians are like, we need to change this. Let me think about this. Yes. I'm going to take my time. So it's a longer, it's not called a transit. Tracy used a different word, inverse or inversion or something. I forget. I forget what the word is, but I call it a transit because it's just a 20-year transit.
Right, right.
So in this, again, this one lasts 20 years. So in 20 years, we're going to then move into Pluto in Pisces. Oh my God. And at that point, that's when I think like, you know, all of the children that are being born right now, they're going to be a voting age in 20 years.
Yes.
And the children that are being born now are legitimate 100% starseeds sent here on Earth to help maneuver the change into the age of Aquarius. So it's all sort of falling into place and it's really cool. But I wanted to talk about those of us that have been through, that have been adults over the last 15 years, because we are like, wait a minute, hold on. And we'll get into that. Why?
Okay.
So Pluto and Aquarius, it kicks off January 20th of 2024. It's going to go retrograde into Capricorn back in like September and then through like November for a very
brief right during the election. Yeah.
Right. Oh fuck, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, and then it's going to go back in November. So, you know, hopefully that retrograde is not going to don't even think about it. But it's basically what we're about to experience is a very slow and steady paradigm shift for the next 20 years. And it's an end to the challenging lessons of Capricorn, of Pluto in Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is the Lord of Karma. He's a disciplinarian, you know. And the thing that struck me that was the most interesting is that this is an experience moving from Capricorn energy into Aquarian energy that most millennials have never known as adults.
No.
So when it comes to this global consciousness up level, it's a brand new, never before way of experiencing life for those younger generations. And even my generation too, because I'm a Gen Xer and, you know, I'll touch on this again, but when Pluto went into Capricorn, I was in my 40s, right? Well, that's the time of year when I'm like, oh, life's about to get better. It's about to get stable. Mm-hmm. So basically, we've literally spent the last 15 years kind of learning from Pluto in Capricorn that life is kind of hard.
Right.
Life isn't easy.
Right.
We've come to expect slowdowns, restrictions, disappointments, rejections, other karmic lessons that just don't leave us feeling like, oh, the potential and the possibility of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've had to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of the global shadow too. where we are, where we are. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so when you dig into the shadow programming, like what is this created within us? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we have this message from the universe that, you know, life is kind of hard. And so that's created within our shadow. Whenever we do any sort of shadow work, we're uncovering things like fear, doubt, mistrust, anxiety, in this super frustrating mindset belief that painful experiences, that they don't always have a logical reason for showing up in our lives.
Okay. Uh-huh.
For me, that's the worst part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we say, oh, there's always a reason. You know, you look back and you'll see, oh, if this hadn't have happened, then this would have happened and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes there's not a fucking reason.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's meant to be unexplained. Not everything. I think that's a very human thing to try to connect dots, right? We've talked about this before in like the conspiracy theory episode where like the human brain has the proclivity to connect dots where there are no connections. And it's just like, it's part of our like monkey brain of like just trying to understand correlations in order to keep us alive. Like if, you know, if you go out in the darkness, like you might get killed by a jaguar kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, even though that's not necessarily true, you know, like nowadays or whatever, but like, you know, there's certain things that we associate or just, you know, connections that we make. So yeah, I can see that as a coping mechanism of saying, well, you know, if it hadn't been this way, then I would have never been able to do blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And it also, it's that hindsight thing as well. I think Radiolab did an episode about this, about how it's how we give things meaning. Like if we give the struggle, if I hadn't struggled this hard, like I would have never been able to appreciate what I have now. But that's really just a very human assignment that we've given it.
It's a coping mechanism. And, you know, due to free will, you know, we might have written in our soul blueprint that this specific thing happens, but then this specific thing also is dependent upon the choices and actions of this other person where we don't have control over that. Right. So it's free will. Sometimes bad things happen and it's not fair and it doesn't seem like, you know, it's not always a fucking lesson.
Nope.
So that's why Pluto in Capricorn has been so hard and felt so hard. So to put it into perspective generationally, so for my generation, Gen X, we are currently in our 50s-ish, right? Mm-hmm. And these hard lessons started, like I said, at the beginning of our 40s, which is the time of life when financial freedom and security are supposed to start feeling more attainable.
Right, right.
Okay, but for you Gen Ys, you millennials, you Gen Zs, these hard lessons started at the beginning of your 20s. Through the beginning of your 30s. So for some of you, Pluto and Capricorn and its sort of accompanying challenges, that's all you've ever known of adulting. So you might come away and be like, adulting fucking sucks because it's always been hard.
Yes. Right? That has been a huge millennial theme. It's like, can I not adult today because it sucks.
Exactly. Exactly. So you, my friends, have had to learn a whole new way of existing, being, feeling, doing, sensing, trusting, believing, and surrendering to your quote unquote higher path. Right.
Yep.
And you're just like, hold on. I'm not familiar with this new energy coming in and I don't trust the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is completely understandable and it's completely normal. So I want everybody who's listening to this and who's like, this is just jiving with their vibe, right? They're like, what? This is the first time I've heard this, you know, sort of put into these words. This is all of your fears and your frustrations and the lack of trust that you have that your goals and dreams are actually going to be supported. Uh-huh. It is understandable and it's normal.
Yes.
But if you take a minute, because Fioriliz and I were doing this earlier, we just were talking about this earlier. If you just take a minute and you just push everything out, you just get quiet and you listen to your inner and you just focus on your gut and your intuition, you'll feel that peace. It's there. It's it's this knowing that what you're meant to do is going to happen. It's there. It's within us. I can feel it. It's just this peace and it's there. Peace. So don't fight it. Let it go. Let it grow. Let it expand because it's just going to keep getting more expansive and more powerful. And then when January 20th hits, it's going to be like, boom.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
It's very exciting. Now, here's the other thing about it is that so Cindy from what is the name of her astrology business? Okay, we'll find out. But anyway, friend of the pod, Cindy Dodge, Cindy Davis. It's one of those two. She has said that it's gonna take a minute, but that everybody should be feeling that peace and expansion by March.
Okay.
And that's Aquarius working, right? Like I said, Aquarius is cerebral. Aquarius takes their time. Aquarius is like, don't rush me. I'll figure it out. We'll get it going. So if you're not feeling it right now and you don't feel it January 20th right away, mm-hmm. Give yourself some time and space. Also, cardinal signs are going to feel it much stronger than the rest of those signs because also like Aquarius is a fixed sign. Yes.
Yes.
So, it's going to take its fucking time. Yeah.
So
don't rush me.
So the cardinal signs are the ones that basically launch every season.
Yep.
So let's talk about the four cardinal signs.
Capricorn, Libra, Cancer, and Aries.
Yes.
Yes. And so you will be feeling it. My legs are tingling now. So that's my validation from spirit that you will be feeling it stronger and quicker. You know, I'm a Capricorn sun and I'm a Libra rising. So I'm all fucking for this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bring it on.
Yes.
And then my nodes are in Aries and Libra. So this is big for me. And that's probably why I'm feeling it so intensely.
Yeah.
Because this is what I've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I went through my awakening in 2016, in 2012, I believe, or 14, I don't remember, one of those. And then I quit the corporate world in 2016, in the middle of Pluto and Capricorn. And I'm like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if self-employment is for me. Mm-hmm. And I've just been struggling with my decision. Do I want to go back to work? Do I want to, whatever sense. So for me, this is like, okay, it's finally going to pay off. So if there are other Capricorns out there with similar placements, no, you're about to take off.
Okay.
Take the fuck off. And you, Fee, you're a double Libra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you are too.
I want to just drop this in here as well because it's also I found it uplifting and supportive as well. I don't dive too much into Chinese horoscopes, but I know this from my personal experience because I had a child during the last dragon year, which was 2012. Mm-hmm. And I told you the story. So our baker was Chinese and she was like, oh, you're having a baby this year. She's like, this is a great year. Like everyone in China is trying to have a baby because it's a great year to have a child or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I had researched it a little bit. And that was 2012 was the year of the water dragon. But 2024 is the year of the wood dragon. And the dragon represents authority, prosperity, and good fortune. So, so it's, and then when you combine that with wood, which is a nourishing element, it will bring evolution, improvement, and abundance. So it is a perfect time for rejuvenated beginnings and setting the foundation for long-term success.
And we are in a numerology personal year 8, which is the peak of the 9-year cycle, but it's also a year of empowerment. It's a year of shedding all of the things about you, your habits, practices, traits, thoughts, physical, shedding it all and coming out the other end because we're being prepped for the 9-year next year, 2025, which is a year of transformation, which is going to push us into a brand new 9-year cycle in 2026 of one, new opportunities, new directions. So we're at a really freaking cool point now. And if you have a dream that's simmering, now is the time to start putting that into place because within 2 years, you're going to be in the middle of your dream going, what?
Yes.
What? And it's going to be an easy, fun, fortuitous sort of journey. Luck, unforeseen favorable events, fortuitous circumstances, and fantastic twists of destiny. So
awesome.
Now, because since 2008, life has felt like we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the big thing is. And the last 15 years have really put us through the ringer. Because of that, we've lived in this constant energy of self-mastery. We've self-improvement. There's those of us that have done inner work, it's like, Jesus, there's always another level of this. You know, we're in this energy of consistent growth and challenge. So that served us well. And that's Capricorn, that's Saturn, that's Chiron, that's, you know, all of those energies together. So for the next 20 years, we have to learn to live differently. We have to learn to have different experiences. We have to live and expect prosperity, you know, and it's a new energy that we have very little experience living in and trusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that good things haven't happened to us. We're not victims here. We're not saying life's hard, life sucks. But we have to learn to adjust. It's like moving to a new school, right?
Yes.
A new community. And we, some of us like don't know how to do that. How do we do that?
Let's assume that we can do that and go about it in a way of like that this is for the best, that this is going to work out for the best. And I know that attitude is hard to harness, but we can do it.
We can do it. I have full faith that we can do it. Life is about to get interesting, and this is why. So Pluto, the planet Pluto, like I said, it's the planet of transformation, but it's also the catalyst of our deepest transformation. Mm-hmm. And so for instance, when I moved to Portland, I moved on my Pluto line, which mm-hmm. is an astrocartography term.
Yes.
But I live in an energy where I am going to experience the greatest transformation. Mm. So to inspire us, Pluto, it's inspiring us to break free from the conditioning and accumulated shadow mindset programming from the previous phase of Capricorn.
Yes.
So this is what I'm talking about, that astrology, you write your soul blueprint. That's your numerology. That's your what. What am I here to do? You know, your astrology is, well, this is why, but astrology is also the algorithm in the sky that is the motor for your soul blueprint. It's some people call it a map. I actually call human design more of the map. Maybe astrology is the map and human design is the how-to.
Sure. Yeah. Cause it's like that. I feel like human design explains like how the motor runs, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to basically wrap it up as far as my last statement about Pluto and Aquarius, because we're going to be talking about this a lot more because I am obsessed with this topic. Pluto into Aquarius on January 20th, it's going to support our movement away from our old paradigms and push us toward power and empowerment. So, you know, that ties into the fact that Fiorelise and I are holding our quantum practices retreat in March in Desert Palm Springs, California. And we're going to teach you how to use quantum practices to embrace and master within that new paradigm. It's a weekend of shifting and closing your old mindset and opening up to the new. So
yes, 100%. And then also I did want to mention, we had a live Woo and A chat about this on our esoterics community on Facebook. So if you haven't joined, we encourage you to join. We mm-hmm. should probably also maybe post these Q&A live links on our Instagram for people that don't have Facebook.
100%.
And then also on our website as well. But for any information, including our retreat, you can find all the details on the esotericspodcast.com/quantum. And then you can check out our events page and all that for anything else that we will have upcoming.
Yes, it's exciting. It's exciting. Woo and A is fun. It was such a fun discussion. I wasn't able to record it. It didn't turn out well because there was so many people talking. It was just bad audio. So I probably won't be recording those. So that's a perk. Yeah, join live. It's a perk. And, you know, if you can't do it, there'll always be another one. So, and we have awesome conversations in there. So.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, that means it's time to say goodbye. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please share on your stories, subscribe, and leave us a review. This helps our podcast grow. And if we grow, that means our ability to do this work grows with it.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Stay mystical, magical, and don't let anyone tell you what to do, especially
who...
bossy people.
Especially bossy people.
Bye. All right,
bye.